Today, we're talking about transportation and car idling with our challenger, John Botwerf. This is episode 6 on the Tiny Climate Challenge podcast. I'm Maella Manassian, your host on the Tiny Climate Challenge podcast. This is a podcast for busy people who want to save the planet by completing one simple eco challenge at a time. Let's do this. Please visit tinyclimate.com to access all episodes, show notes, freely subscribe, and contact us. Today, I'm speaking with our Tiny Climate Challenge guest, John Botwerf.
Hello.
The topic of our podcast is all about transportation and the importance of turning off your engine when you're idling. Welcome, John.
Thank you very much. It's good to be here.
Why don't you tell us about yourself and the challenge that you completed?
Gotcha. So my name is John Botwerf. I'm a cybersecurity engineer, and I live in Oceanside, California. And I work in Irvine, which is about 50 miles north. So part of what I do is I take the train to work every day. And my wife and I started CleanEarthForKids.org. And we've been working on a number of things, particularly about air pollution. And part of that is idling. And one of the challenges that I took upon myself was just to find ways to not idle. And for people to understand, you know, we're talking about idling as in you're sitting in a parking lot. You want to talk about you're not at a stop sign, not at a stoplight. You're just sitting in a parking lot, or you're waiting in line, or you're dropping something off. That type of idling, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, I appreciate you taking this challenge. I was going to ask you what inspired you to take the challenge, and I wondered if it had anything to do with Suzanne.
Yes, absolutely. My wife was exposed. It's kind of how it started. My wife was exposed to pesticides in the air, and it burned her lungs. And we started kind of down this path of understanding and looking into the EPA regulations and air quality and, you know, particulate matter, and just kind of you open this Pandora's box of information, and it kind of leads you down this path to understanding all this stuff. And it's the air pollution is everywhere. Mm-hmm. It is a global problem. You know, there's so many statistics about, you know, globally, 10% of deaths in kids under 5 globally are due to air pollution, you know, particulate matter and everything. It impacts organs in your brain. They're looking at links to Alzheimer's and everything. It's air pollution is around us constantly, and we're not even aware of it. I mean, I live in, you know, San Diego County, and you know, the American Lung Association just came out with San Diego is the 6th worst for smog in the country. And you know, we think in Southern California it's all beautiful and, you know, beach and it's all beautiful, but you know, the fact is it's really not. There's a lot of stuff in the air that we're breathing in, and it's hurting people's lungs, and particularly kids' lungs.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to believe because we live in such a beautiful city.
Yeah.
And I actually just got a text from my best friend with an article that says researchers have found a link between air pollution and crime.
It would not surprise me.
Yeah. So I haven't read the full article yet, but I was, you know, it's just there's more impacts,
yes,
from air pollution than just our health as well.
Absolutely.
So let's talk a little bit about your efforts with Clean Earth for Kids. Last time Suzanne was here in the studio, she mentioned that you're working with school districts and city councils to develop resolutions and ordinances. Can you explain the difference between the two?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, an ordinance at a high level is local law. So it's a city, a municipality has made a law. A resolution is just a statement of belief or opinion. And, you know, city councils can do it and school boards do it as well. And that's something that, you know, when we talk to school boards, you know, we want them to pass resolutions to not idle, and particularly to create education programs and awareness programs for kids and parents and everything. Because, you know, we don't want, you know, people to be worried about getting tickets and fined because they're dropping their kid off at school. That's not what our intention is. We want people to understand that, you know, burning fossil fuels produces a lot of carcinogens and a lot of deadly gases. And every time, you know, children are exposed to that, you know, it's a health risk, particularly for asthma. You know, so many kids, asthma is the number one chronic illness in children in the U.S. It's, I think, like the the third leading cause of hospitalization in the U.S. You know, it's the number one cause of school absences, you know, in kids. And, you know, anything you can do to reduce your exposure, you know, of your kids to stuff like that, you know, people need to be aware of that. And I think about when I was a kid, you know, seatbelts, you know, no one wore a seatbelt. That was not a big deal. And there was this big awareness program and just, you know, to click it and everything. And then, you know, now we don't even think about putting in our seatbelt. And we want to do something similar with idling, just let people know, you know, this is what's going on. You know, there's bad stuff coming out of your tailpipe, you know, just turn it off.
Great. And then, so you mentioned ordinances, working with cities, but then also with the school districts, it looks like you're working to develop some resolutions there.
Absolutely. And Vista Unified here in California just passed a resolution for no idling. We're very excited about that. We're also working with Oceanside and Carlsbad Unified and Encinitas as well to make it a formal thing, put signs up and let everyone know that, you know, this is going on and to just turn it off.
Mm-hmm. Good. Let's, talk about your challenge. How long have you been doing the challenge?
I technically have been doing it for a couple of weeks.
Okay.
And it takes, you know, so my big thing was, you know, drive-throughs and, you know, for food and that kind of thing. I take the train to work. And then when I get home, it's usually a rush to go to meetings and help Suzanne with the kids she's working with. And, you know, I discovered that, you know, if you do some careful planning and pack some food with you, you can avoid some of these restaurant situations, and drive-throughs particularly, you know, are bad because you're sitting in your car and idling. And, you know, I look at like Chick-fil-A and stuff, you know, they're young kids, they're teenagers out there for a long amount of time being exposed to, you know, the toxic fumes, that come out of cars. So, yeah, so that was something that I've been doing for a couple of weeks.
Great. I also like to take these challenges along with all of my guests, because I'm not perfect, but I do strive to be better. And so I have been very mindful of my own idling habits. And it's really funny, actually, because my husband, I told him about after Suzanne came into the studio, told him what I learned. And what really stuck out to me was the 10 seconds. If you're going to be idling for more than 10 seconds, you should consider turning off your engine, right?
Absolutely.
Depending on, you know, where you're at. Obviously, if you're, you know, in traffic, like at a stoplight or something, we're not going to be turning off our engine on and off at that point. But so anyway, my husband came to pick me up. And he knows that sometimes I kind of like to take my time because I have a hard time saying goodbye to folks when I'm visiting with them. And so he texted me and he said, "I'm out front and I'll just be idling here until we get here." And so the minute, I mean, he was being sarcastic. Yeah. he was being funny. Yeah. And, but the minute I read that, I said, "I gotta go. My husband's idling out front." And I ran right out to greet him. So there's that. But then also I've just been, you know, really aware of the own situations where I've been idling. So let's talk about, and maybe we could do this kind of like a bit of like a speed round, some tips that you would offer, for when people are in certain situations. Mm-hmm. Last night I went through, the drive-through ATM. So what do you recommend there?
Well, if you can park and then walk over, otherwise, you know, when you get in position, turn your car off and do whatever you got to do. And even if there's someone in front of you, just turn off your car and just wait till them to move and restart and move on. And that's definitely something, you know, it's a myth. People think that, oh, if I have to stop and restart, it's going to, you know, destroy my alternator and my starter. And it really doesn't. There's lots of, documentation for the EPA and Department of Energy that it's particularly in a modern car. It doesn't do any damage.
Okay. What about, I see people at the drive-through CVS pharmacy all the time.
Mm-hmm. Same kind of thing, you know, just park, walk in. And I've discovered, particularly with restaurants, I think it's faster just to park and go in than to do a drive-through.
Yes.
So people think it's saving time, but honestly, it's really not saving any time.
Yeah, I've definitely experienced that myself, and like going to Starbucks and mm-hmm. gotten in and out, walking in to order my drink. And yeah. I don't go to Starbucks that often, but occasionally. Okay, what about loading and unloading at the beach or a park?
Oh, definitely turn it off. And that's something I actually saw just the other day, Memorial Day weekend. I was out walking my dog, and this family was coming back from the beach, and they got their minivan parked. They opened the door, started the engine, and then opened up all the doors, and then took, you know, a couple of minutes of loading everything in and people, and they're behind the van, you know, all that exhaust being poured all over them. And I walked over and talked to them, and they turned it off. But it's like, that's just, I see it all the time. It's like, you know, just turn it off. It's mm-hmm. it's not going to hurt anything to turn it off. So just turn it off.
What do you recommend for people? It's a hot day and mm-hmm. they want to run their air conditioning.
Now, obviously, you know, there's health reasons, you know, people are sick, you got babies, whatever, but, you know, park in the shade, you know, open up your windows, you know, or, you know, park and go inside. You know, there's other ways to do it, but, you know, certainly we don't want people to risk, you know, health, you know, if you need equipment for handicapped or anything like that, or like I said, extreme weather, you know, we don't want anyone to have, you know, temperature exposure because they turned their car off. That's not what we're talking about.
Right. Okay. I got a few more scenarios. How about picking up passengers at an airport?
Oh, definitely turn it off. Definitely turn it off. And, you know, again, you know, with cell phones nowadays, it's pretty easy to text or call, just park and just let them know I'm underneath the, you know, the United sign or whatever, and then wait for them to come to you. Just turn it off.
Yeah. One of the great things about San Diego International Airport is they have a cell phone waiting lot.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a great place to just go and park your car. And like you said, wait for the text.
Just wait.
That your loved one is mm-hmm. curbside and waiting for you. Okay. How about dropping your kids off at school?
Now, definitely, particularly because you got kids, and kids are, I know when Suzanne and the kids were here last, they talked about it, about, you know, kids are, because they breathe faster, they breathe in more air, so they're more exposed. But definitely kids are, the UN just came out with a statistic about kids are exposed to a third more air pollution than adults because of all the factors. And particularly for kids, you know, their brains are still developing, and air mm-hmm. pollution impacts neurodevelopment. So particularly when you're picking up or dropping off, I think particularly, you know, people just need to be mindful that, you know, unless you're constantly moving the car, just turn it off, wait the 10 seconds, whatever, for the line to move, just restart it and move up. You know, it's not going to take that much time. It's not that big of a deal, particularly with a lot of modern cars, you know, the push button starts and stuff. It's just not that big of a deal.
Mm-hmm. And it's also, that's a situation where you could park.
Absolutely.
And instead of waiting in that long line to pick up the kids, you Absolutely. Could just park in the parking lot or maybe offsite, you mm-hmm. know, come up with a meeting point with your child.
Absolutely.
The other thing I do is my daughter's much older now, but I have nephews mm-hmm. and I've ridden my bike to school with them before instead Absolutely. Of driving them and dropping them off.
Absolutely. And I think particularly with older kids, you know, you can, like you said, you can park kind of not off-site, but park a ways and then mm-hmm. let them know, you know, come meet me at, you know, wherever, walk to me, or you can walk to them and get yes. them if they're smaller. You don't have to wait in line with all that air pollution. And certainly, you know, modern cars, there's a lot of cars now that have actually, it's called start-stop technology. That's something you do see in American and foreign cars, that when you put the brake on, the car stops, the engine will actually shut off. And that's becoming more and more common in newer cars, and, you know, which is great. It's a great solution because then, you know, you're not idling, your car is off, you know, you can still run your radio, you know, whatever, but you're not polluting. And I think when people buy cars, you know, if they have an opportunity, you know, if that's a, you know, that could be a factor when they buy.
Yeah. And I actually have an EV.
Oh, even better. Even better.
So I love the fact that I don't even have to go buy a gas station anymore.
Absolutely. And that's definitely, you yes. know, you know, getting rid of fossil fuels, you know, eliminate if you can, reduce if you can't, do everything we can to cut back. And this is something I really like about the no idling thing, because it's such a simple thing to do mm-hmm. and anyone can do it. You know, it's just turn off, you know, turn that ignition off. And it's something I thought about, you know, you wouldn't smoke a cigarette in front of a baby because it's so bad for the lungs, yet right. we'll idle in front of kids, you know, all the time. So I think people need to be aware that it's the same stuff coming out of a cigarette. Actually, 1 minute of idling produces more carbon monoxide than 3 packs of cigarettes. Okay. So, you know, idling is just like smoking in front of a kid. So people shouldn't do it.
Wow. The last one is one that I particularly find really annoying. It's people who are parked. They start their car and then all of a sudden they have to check their phone, yes. either to respond to a text message, email, or maybe they're putting directions and I don't know. So what do you recommend there?
Just turn it off. And I found it's interesting, you know, when I see it, you know, I'll try to be polite, knock on people's windows or wave at them and just let them know. And the vast majority of people will be like, oh, I didn't even realize it. You know, thank you so much. You know, you get some people, of course, that were like, no, mm-hmm. like I want to idle. For whatever reason, but most people they're just not aware. But yeah, it's like I don't know what they're doing on their phones, but just turn off your car.
Mm-hmm. So, what did you find easiest about this challenge?
The easiest thing was, you know, it really did save time, and beyond that, you know, it's kind of a moment of conscience of just, you know, in good conscience, how can you sit in a drive-thru where there's a 16-year-old kid standing there with a clipboard taking my order, breathing in my carbon monoxide and nitrous dioxide and all this other stuff that I now know is in car mm-hmm. exhaust, you know, just so I can sit in my air conditioning and get a burger or something or a bean burrito or whatever, you know, is your preference. It's just like, that just seems kind of ridiculous. I mean, at some point, just turn it off and just walk in, or better yet, bring your own food so you're not adding, you know, waste and paper and stuff like that. And I definitely have made a point, you know, to kind of bring my own utensils in. So even if I do eat mm-hmm. in, you know, I'm still, you know, there's not a bag involved. You know, I don't have to get a lid or even a cup. I can bring in my own cup. So, you know, even if you do walk in instead of drive through, you can help reduce waste in other ways. There's a lot of benefits.
Spoken like a real tiny climate champion.
I am discovering a lot of things. And it's funny, you know, I'm 50 and I look back, honestly, not that long ago, and we weren't really aware of so much of this. And now it's, yeah, once you're aware, you see a lot more, you know, things, and it's so easy. Like I said, it's easy just to fix so much of this. Just, you know, turn it off. Don't take a straw. Don't take a cup. Don't take a lid. Mm-hmm. You know, it's pretty easy to do.
One of the things that struck me about what you just said is that you said it saves time. And yeah. I think most people think that by going into the drive-through, they're saving time. So do you want to just kind of elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah. And, you know, like I said, my personal experience is it's faster mm-hmm. just to park, mm-hmm. walk in. I can go to the bathroom while I'm waiting for my order. I can, you know, I can still check my phone. I don't yep. have to be in my car to check my phone. And like I said, I can get a small drink, you know, I can bring my own cup. You know, I can get refills without having to park and walk in or whatever. And it's, you know, it's much easier. I find it, honestly, it's easier, it's more convenient and quicker just to walk in.
Mm-hmm. Great. What did you find most difficult about this challenge?
Just the habit. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a habit. It's an inconvenience, right? To actually, oh, I have to find a parking space and get out of my car. You know, and again, you balance that versus exposing people to car exhaust and carcinogens. Like, yeah, I'll just walk in. It's not that big of a deal. Honestly, it's just not.
So what would you recommend to help make this challenge easier for other people?
I think a lot of it just being mindful, you know, be aware that what's coming out of your tailpipe is, you know, is toxic, and do anything you can to, you know, to reduce it. Don't start your car until you're ready to drive. Turn it off as soon as you're done driving. Whenever you can, you know, park and walk in, and just, you know, be mindful that what's coming out of that car exhaust is bad, and tell people, you know, get your kids on board, let them understand too. And you know, like I said, about the seatbelt thing, so much of it, you know, I think we taught our parents to wear their seatbelts because we learned it in school mm-hmm. that it was important and it saved lives. And I think it'll be the same kind of thing. You know, we get these no idling resolutions in these school districts, and the kids who are already leading the charge on the climate
amazing,
change,
by the way.
It is absolutely phenomenal. And I think they will, you know, like most of it, they'll lead the charge on this as well.
That's great. How do you feel now that you've completed this challenge?
I feel pretty good, and I'm not going to stop. I'm going to keep on going, and, you know, not idle, and tell people I know, and kind of get the word out. Being on podcasts kind of helps and everything. And, you know, go to city council meetings and school districts and PTAs and just get the word out. And like I said, the vast majority of people, once you explain to them, I can't tell how many people that we've got to, you know, city council meetings, and afterwards someone's like, you know, ever since you've spoken, I don't idle. I'm aware of it. Mm-hmm. I see it all the time. So I think just people need to just be aware.
I love that. And that you touched on the idea of mindfulness, because we can't change what, you know, we're not aware of to begin with. So I think, you know, a lot of people get concerned, you know, I've asked people to be on the show to take challenges, and then they go, no, because I'm not going to do it right, you know, 100% of the time. And that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
The point is to challenge ourselves, to do things, to try new things, you know, that we haven't done before, and to see, you know, what we can be successful at. So it's not about getting it right 100% of the time. And so I'm just curious, like, are there moments where you're just like, oh, I idled, you know, 5 seconds too long?
It does happen, particularly, you know, if you're having a conversation with someone or something, or, you know, you park and then you're like, oh, where's the, you know, whatever. And then you're like, oh, car's running, you know, so,
yes.
Yeah, but when you get in the habit, just like most things, like seatbelts, you know, once you get in the habit, it's a lot easier. And certainly, I think most people are becoming more mindful about fossil fuels. You know, one of the statistics I found from, I think, the Department of Energy talked about every gallon of gasoline that's burned produces 20 pounds of carbon dioxide.
Wow.
So, you know, anything you can do to not burn gasoline helps. It helps the climate, helps reduce air pollution, which helps kids' health. So, you know, it's really not that hard to just turn off your engine. Like I said, it's such a small and easy thing to do.
Yes.
You just got to be aware of it and, you know, tell people, you know, said, hey, you know, you're idling.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, you're, you know, you got car exhaust coming out. That's bad stuff.
And you just touched on one of the final points that I want to make, is that anyone who's driving a car can easily do this challenge.
Absolutely. You don't have to buy anything. You don't have to go buy a Tesla or anything like that, or solar panels. You just, if you have a car, shut it off when you're, you know, when you're not driving it. And, you know, hey, if you don't have a car, that's great too. Take public transportation, ride a bicycle, you know, carpool. Yes, walking is good.
I walked here today to studio. Yes. Well, that's awesome. Are there any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, we definitely touched on a lot of, you know, air pollution, stuff like that, but there's definitely, you know, a climate change element to idling. And it's something that, I think it was University of Vanderbilt did a study, and the average person idles 16 minutes a day in the U.S., which is, it's pretty substantial. And in the U.S. alone, idling adds 30 million tons of carbon dioxide every year. And that's a massive amount of greenhouse gases. And again, you know, it's just a simple, easy thing to do can reduce, you know, 30 million tons of carbon dioxide just by people shutting off their cars. That's such an easy thing to do. And certainly, we definitely have been talking to cities about getting this into their climate action plans. We got that into Oceanside, the city of Oceanside here in California.
That's great.
They got it in their climate action plan, which we're pretty excited about. Russ Cunningham was
city council member,
He's the city planner. City planner, and he was instrumental in that. And it was one of those things where we talked to him about it, and he was like, "Oh, that's easy. That's a no brainer. We'll put that in. That's so straightforward to do." I'm like, "Yeah, it really is. We just need to get awareness out." And particularly, you know, people becoming aware, not just in this country, in the state, but in, you know, nationally, worldly, globally, that, you know, carbon change is a problem. And it's, you know, carbon dioxide in the U.S., 27% of greenhouse gases are transportation. Mm-hmm. So this is a big part of that. It's an easy thing anybody and everybody can do. And even if you don't have a car, you're going to be in a car. You can tell somebody, hey, you know, shut off your car. You don't have to run it.
Right.
It's really easy to do.
Yep. Well, I fully appreciate you taking the time to come in today and share your experience with us.
Great to be here.
You are a true tiny climate champion.
Well, thank you.
I just absolutely love everything that you and your wife, Suzanne, are working on, and Clean Earth for Kids, and the phenomenal youth board members that came in to share, you know, all the incredible work that they're doing. You guys just never cease to amaze and inspire.
Oh, thank you. The kids are inspirational. At some point, you know, we're doing it for them.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so much, John. We appreciate hearing from you today. That I just want to let folks know that if you like what you hear, don't forget to subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Google Podcasts, or you can find me at tinyclimate.com. Remember that small changes can lead to big results in ensuring a tiny climate. Look forward to seeing you soon.
Now, for the first time in my life, I truly believe my dreams are possible.